Genesis chapter 33 and verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them, and bowed himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes, and saw the women and the children, and said, Who are those with thee? And he said, The children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also, with her children, came near, and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, What meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand, for therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds are young, with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir. And Esau said, Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built him an house, and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field, where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar, and called it El Elohe Israel. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. We have been anticipating this encounter for some time now. As we've been working through this story of Jacob and his return to the land of Canaan, we have had this meeting in the background all the time. And we should not forget how full of worry Jacob was with respect to this meeting. Indeed, if it was not that the Lord had sustained him and encouraged him, then perhaps he would not have been able to make this journey at all. But he had no friend in Laban who was behind him now, and he had no friend in Esau who was before him. And he felt that he had no helpers along the way. And but that the Lord had sent angels to guard his journey, he felt very much alone. But he had the Lord's protection. You see, Jacob was never alone because the Lord was always with him. What was behind him was past, and what was before him lay under the control of God, his friend. And as I was thinking about Jacob, I was remembering that sometimes in the scriptures, preachers are called angels. And when we think about the way in which we make our journey through life, the things that are behind us and the things that are before us, we sometimes feel as if we are on our own as well. But that is the value of the preaching of the gospel to us. That's why we come together to hear the gospel preached. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we study the Bible. It's why we wait to hear the Lord speaking to us from the Bible. Because these are his angels. The preachers that he sends to explain the scriptures to us are like our angels that minister good things to our heart and to our soul, that we may be protected and we may be defended on our life's journey. How frail and feeble we are, how prone to doubt we are, how slow to believe, and how readily we are overtaken by anxiety, just like Jacob was. But someday we will see that all our troubles in this world were really merely vehicles by which the Lord God planned to do us good. We have gospel truth given to us, and it is to our left and to our right. It is forward and it is backward. It is all around to preserve us and to bless us and to comfort us and encourage us, to minister to us and to protect us. And if we had but eyes to see and faith to believe, then we would be much comforted in these doctrines and truths of the person of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and his help for us. But now Jacob must face the biggest challenge of his life. Except it wasn't. As Esau approached Jacob with these 400 men that he brought to meet him, it wasn't with anger, but with affection that Jacob was met. It wasn't a war cry that Jacob heard from Esau, but it was a cry of joy and happiness. Jacob's fears were not realized, and Esau treated him much differently than he had expected. Do you remember when we were reading about Laban pursuing Jacob, that God met Laban the night before he met up with Jacob and warned him not to do Jacob any harm? Well, here we find that God had been at work with Esau as well, and that Esau's heart was softened towards his brother. The Lord had everything in control. And let us remember that our God is eternal. That means that he's in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future. Time has no meaning in that sense to our eternal God, who lives outside of time. So that God is already in our future. We don't know what the future holds, but God is already there. And he has prepared our way into the future, so that all of our unknowns are known to him. What is it that the hymn writer says? He who is too wise to be mistaken is too good to be unkind. That's what we have to hold on to. Our God is in control, and the love of God towards us and his goodness and his mercy will be our portion, no matter the challenges that we have to face. William Cooper, another hymn writer, he might have been speaking to Jacob himself when he wrote, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head." You see, God had promised that as a prince, Jacob had power with God and with men. And here we see that that power with men was demonstrated. Everything that Jacob desired from Esau, he obtained. Nothing that Jacob feared came to pass. Never let us forget that God, our Father and our friend, is in charge of all things. We're told that after meeting with Esau, and although we're not told, Jacob probably went to see Esau in Seir, and then from Seir went on to Succoth. But he moved on to Succoth and then to Shalem, a city in Shechem in Canaan. This was the land that he was going to, the land that God had promised to give him as an inheritance. That little word there, Shalem, it might well be a place that Jacob stopped at along the way, or perhaps it can be translated as he came to Shechem safe and sound, protected and preserved, because God was faithful to his word and never forsook him along the way. And there Jacob bought a little piece of land, a parcel of a field, not even a whole field, but just part of a field. All the land of Canaan was his by the promise of God. Everything that he could see would be his and his family's. But for now, he had to buy a little plot and to put up his tents and to make it his home. That teaches us a lesson too. The Lord's people are heirs of all things. And what the Lord has planned for us is wonderful and rich and satisfying beyond our imaginations. But it is still a short way off. We haven't moved into the full possession of all those promises yet, just as Jacob had not entered into the full possession of God's promises to him. It remains just over the hill. Jacob handed over his money to buy this little piece of ground, and he didn't protest. Rather, he believed. He erected an altar. He made a sacrifice. He looked towards the coming of his Saviour and the glory that would follow, and Jacob worshipped God. God, the God of Israel. Do you remember that Israel was the new name that the Lord had given to Jacob? So Jacob, in saying that this place, this altar, was to the worship of God, the God of Israel, was making a personal testimony. He was personally confessing his faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is saying, "The Lord Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ is my God." And that is what we should do too. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look forward to his coming. Worship him for who he is and what he has done, and await his good timing and his good purpose. He is God, the God of you and me who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he does all things well. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us and encourage our hearts in them. Amen.